Judson Douglas, I have met only recently. I believe the first time we met, Judson, was at Journey Through Christmas. And I have heard many good things, and I talked with him at length the other day, a little bit about his life and about his story. And I did not realize this church is the first church you pastored. And doing a good job. At least as far as I know, he's doing a good job. Richard, he's doing a good job. All right, okay. And I'm thrilled about that. Many years ago, we were in this little building down here. I was driving back and forth in the afternoons to Edgewater and preach there and be back here for the service. And then you know the story. All in 1 week, they called a pastor and we moved into that auditorium, and we went to one service, and I didn't drive to Edgewater, and it was just like retiring. It really was. I mean, I took an afternoon nap on Sunday, and it was just different. It was just so different. It was just a change, but it was a pleasant change and a good change. And I'm glad for the progress that Indian River Baptist Church has made over these years. And I'm glad that it's still there, still solid, still going. And I appreciate the good folks there that have seen to it that that happened. And then I'm glad that Brother Judson Douglas is part of that church and pastoring that church now. And I'm delighted to have him here to preach for us this morning. So, Judson, I want you to come right on and open the Word of God with us today. And if you have your Bibles, which I assume you do, if you need a note sheet, just raise your hand. Somebody will bring you one. If you'd like a sheet to take notes on. If you have your booklet, that's fine. But if you need a sheet for notes, raise your hand and somebody will get that to you immediately. Okay? Okay. Very good. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Pastor of Indian River Baptist Church, Brother Judson Douglas, come preach to us.
God bless you, Brother Reynolds. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. You heard him, John chapter 5, and we'll be there shortly. Let me just give you a brief background about myself. I was born in Bangkok, Thailand. My parents were missionaries. And the first missionary to the Asian world, or that part of the world, was Adoniram Judson. And so being born in Bangkok, they chose to name me Judson instead of Adoniram, and I have thanked them for that for many years. I get called Jason, Jetson, Johnson, and so I go by Judd, Judson. It works for me. But August 4th, 2013, the Indian River Baptist Church voted unanimously to bring me on as their pastor. I'm sorry, June 30th, they voted, and August 4th was our first Sunday, and we had 44 in attendance, and I was excited about that. September 8th, we had a big push. I wanted to have Meet the Pastor Sunday. And so we just put out about 4,000 flyers. We had 121 people show up, 27 first-time visitors, 5 salvations. And on Easter Sunday this past week, we had 103 in attendance. Yesterday, 93. And I have no idea what I'm doing. And just try to stay out of the way of the Lord and let Him work. And try to keep myself out of the way as much as possible. We do have some of our members here this morning. Brother Miss Sanderlin, he's a retired pastor. Our deacon, Russ Allen, is here this morning, and I appreciate them coming to hear me preach again. They heard me preach yesterday, and they came tonight, or today, and so I said, praise the Lord for that. But we'll get into that more, I guess, tomorrow night. John chapter 5, we'd like to go ahead and get started. I prayed when Brother Reynolds called me and invited me to preach. I said, Lord, I have no idea what to preach to his church, to the preachers that are going to be there. And so I prayed much over it, and he gave me a thought. And to be honest with you, I have no idea why. And usually that's how it works. I just say, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to preach, I'll preach it. Someone needs to hear it. And so it's going to be a little different type thought. But we're going to read the first 18 verses of John chapter 5, and then I will give you the title of the message halfway through the message. So we'll get to that in a minute. So John chapter number 5, and if you would just remain seated, we'll read the first 18 verses, and here we go. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was a Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, And he that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This is a very familiar story. If you've been in church any amount of time, you've heard a preacher preach on the pool at Bethesda. But today we're going to look at the whole entire story and focus in on three different groups of people. Before we do that, let me pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to open it and read it. Lord, as I read your word, I was reminded there are people in this world that don't have a Bible. They don't have the opportunity that we just had to stop and read 18 verses of your word. So Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for what it does for our hearts as we read it, and what it does for our souls, and what it has done for us as a church and as a community. Now, Lord, this morning I pray that you would help me. Lord, help me to be a help to these people. I'm not trying to impress anyone, Lord. I don't want to leave here and people say, wow, what a great preacher. I would much rather leave here and they say, wow, what a great God. So, Father, help me as I preach. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power and pour yourself out to your people through this vessel. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. John chapter 5 is a great chapter. All the books, all the chapters in John are great chapters. If people were to ask me, what is your favorite book in the Bible, I would say John. Matter of fact, when people come to me and say, Pastor, I'd like to start reading the Bible, what would you rather me start with? Would you like me to start in Genesis or Matthew? I say, go to John. John is the book that just jumps right into the story. And it's a good book to start reading, and I enjoy reading through John, and I've enjoyed studying this out. But through these verses, this passage of Scripture that we read, I've noticed some things, and to be honest with you, I had no idea how to prepare for this. I like what Brother Reynolds said. He said, this is who we are, and this is who I am. So you get me, and I apologize for that, but I pray that you'll listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks. But I've noticed several things in this passage of Scripture, and they come in threes. First of all, I noticed that we have three types of people in the story. In verse number 5, we have a certain man. It said, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity in 38 years. So we have a certain man in the story. In verse number 6, we see we have Jesus. It's in the story. By the way, there are certain men all around our churches. There are certain men all around where you live and where you work and where you shop and where you spend your dinners and where you hang out with your friends. There are certain men all around us that we should always be aware of. But there was a certain man in verse 5. There was a Jesus was verse 6. And then in verse 10, we see the group of people, the Jews, the religious crowd, the religious leaders that we see here in just a minute that we're going to focus in on for the message. I see we have three things at the pool. Every year, said at a certain time of the year, there was an angel, there was a stirring, and there was a healing. Three things happened at this pool. Every year at a certain time, the people knew about what time it was going to happen, and the pool would start to stir and become agitated and start to move. And there was an angel. The Bible says an angel came down to stir it, or it came down to trouble the water, agitated it, stirred it up. And then there was a stirring, and then there was a healing. So we see there were three types of people, and there were three things that happened at the pool. And in this story that we read, we have three issues. The first issue is in verse number 10. We see there is a certain man breaking the law. It says, "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." So we see the first issue in the story is there's a certain man breaking a law. Second issue to these people is that Jesus is lifting himself above the law. Verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." What he was saying to them was, my Father has not only done works on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. He works on Saturday, and I do the same. He said, I work also. And then in verse 18, we see the Jews clinging to the law. So we have the first man that broke the law, and then we have a man named Jesus who's lifting himself, elevating himself above the law. And then we have the Jews that are clinging to the law. Those are the three issues. Now, if you would like to go through the entire passage of Scripture that we read, you could outline it. Verses 1 through 5, we have the destination. This is another direction that the Lord led me. Verses 1 through 5, we have a destination. It says in verse 1 that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In verse number 2, it says by the sheep market there was a pool. In verse number 4, it says an angel went down to that destination. And in verse number 5, we see there was a certain man at the destination. So verses 1 through 5, you could say, is the destination. Verses 6 through 9, we have the conversation. That's when Jesus saith unto him in verse 6. And in verse number 7, Jesus answered and said, the certain man answered and said, I have no man. In verse number 8, Jesus responds to him. In verse number 9, the man listens and obeys Jesus. Met this man and he's forgiven me and he's redeemed me and he's purchased me and I'm saved and I don't understand it all, but praise the Lord, I know I'm going to heaven. He was proclaiming that it was Jesus that healed him. Verse number 16, the observation, the glorification, the Jews in verse 16 want him dead, want Jesus dead. He said, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. The word persecute means they went around and just badmouthed him and followed him and constantly bothered him and berated him and talked bad to him and towards him. And they persecuted him and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Verse 17, Jesus answers and says, but Jesus answered them. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He did not say, our Father. He said, my Father. Jews didn't like that. Verse 18, they wanted him dead even more. It says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, saying that because God works on Sunday through Saturday, I can do the same thing. God worked up to this point, and I'm here in his stead working as God. And the Jews did not like that. So we have in verses 1 through 5, the destination. Verses 6 through 9, the conversation. Verses 10 through 13, the observation. Verses 14 through 18, the glorification. And Brother Reynolds, you told me 10:20. And I'm halfway through my message already. So, praise the Lord. All right. Now we come to the application and the title of the message. A few days ago, I prayed and I said, Lord, I guess it's been many days now, Lord, what would you have me preach to this church? I know there'll be some preachers there. I know there'll be some church members there. I just want to be a help. And the Lord gave me a thought. And again, I just scratched my head and I said, okay, I'm going to work with this and see what happens. And so the title of my message, don't stone me until I'm finished, please. The title of my message and the application is the same. Some things just aren't worth fighting about. Some things just aren't worth fighting about. The Jews saw a miracle right in front of their eyes. They're walking, I imagine, walking down the street, and they go by this man who was carrying his bed. And they said, don't you know that you're breaking the law? You're not supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath. And he said, there was a man who came by and healed me. And that man told me I could carry my bed. And so I'm carrying it. They said, who was it that healed you? How dare? What person would tell you to carry your bed on the Sabbath? And he said, the man that healed me. Well, what was his name? He said, he didn't give it to me. I'm not real sure. He was here a minute ago. The Jews saw a miracle, but they did not recognize the truth of what had happened because they were offended over their traditions. Don't stone me yet. I'm an old fashioned. Okay, 35 years old, but Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Amen. 35 years old. My father was a missionary when I was born. He was a pastor for the majority of my life. I grew up in church. I've grown up on the King James Bible. I've grown up going soul winning and preaching and learning the doctrine. I've studied in Baptist schools. I pastor a Baptist church. I believe the Bible. I follow the Bible 100%, no doubt, inspired, preserved, King James version of the Bible. I'm old fashioned. I'm maybe 35 years old, but I'm old fashioned for 35. We have old-fashioned standards. We have old-fashioned convictions. We have old-fashioned music at our church. We have old-fashioned preaching. We have old-fashioned ministries. We have a bus ministry. We have a soul-winning ministry. We have a special needs ministry. And only because God has provided these things. I don't believe that every church should go out and just start a ministry because another church has it. Pray and say, Lord, if you want it to happen, it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, let me stop for just a moment and tell you the story. Someone came to me and they said, Pastor, how would you feel about starting a special needs program? We have one man in our church, and he has Down syndrome. And I said, well, if there's a need for a ministry, the Lord will provide and we'll start that. That was on Sunday. On Monday morning, I get to the church and on the answer machine is a woman. She said, I was driving by your church and I noticed you had buses. Would you come and pick up? Do you go out and pick up children for church? I called her back. I said, we do pick up children. I said, how old are your kids? She said, 44 and 51. I said, I'm sorry. And she said, we have special needs kids. Do you have a special needs program? I said, yes, ma'am, we do. It was in 24 hours we started a program, and we struggled. I didn't want to call it special needs, so we actually have it. It's called Team 139, taken from Psalms 139, verse 14. It's Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and so that's our special needs program. Back to the message. Yes, so I don't believe you should have something just because another church has it, but I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, still in all the adjectives you like there, Baptist preacher. So don't stone me when I start talking like this. Give me a moment here. But there are some things that just aren't worth fighting over. These Jews missed a miracle because their traditions were offended. They were more worried about their traditions than the fact that there was a man right in front of them that had been healed for 38 years. He had laid sick. For 38 years, they walked by the pool of Bethesda. For 38 years, they knew this man lay there. And any one of those years, those religious leaders, those Jews, that crowd, could have decided, you know what, we're going to start a ministry to help these people at the pool. And any one of those 38 years, they could have courted off everybody and said, he's been here the longest, he's getting in the pool next. They could have reached out and helped this man. They could have seen a miracle, but they missed out on being a blessing because it just didn't fit their tradition. They could have decided to help that certain man. A missionary called me a few weeks ago. I guess it's been about 6 weeks now. He said, Pastor Douglas, he said, what circles do you run in? And I said, I don't run anywhere, brother. I said, I'm beyond the running age. No. He said, what camps are you with? And I said, I hate camping. I said, my idea of camping is Pigeon Forge, a log cabin, air conditioning, television, jacuzzi on the pool, in the mountains. That's my idea of camping. I said, I don't like tents. He said, you don't understand what I'm saying. I said, yes, sir, I do. I said, I'm independent. I'm old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, bus-running, independent Baptist church. Baptist. I said, I don't believe in camps. Well, I think you missed it. I said, no, sir. I said, in Hebrews 13, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Next verse says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him, being Jesus, without the camp, bearing his reproach. I said, I read that as Jesus is outside of the camp. I'm outside of the camp with him. I said, so if you're going to put me in a camp, just put me in the Jesus camp. I'm fine with that. Needless to say, the conversation didn't go much further from there. And he must have found another church to minister to. The truth of the matter is, when we get to heaven, we're going to praise and worship Jesus. We're not going to praise and worship a certain leader or a certain church or a certain group. We need to get back to being independent again. Independent, true independent. There's I don't want to get in trouble, but you know, there's an independent fundamental Baptist movement. And certain churches have certain people they look to for leadership. And sometimes I question that in my, you know, inexperienced young pastorship here. I just say, why don't we just look to Jesus and say, Lord, you lead us and direct us. This missionary and I, we had quite the conversation. Apparently we heard that. But when we get to heaven, we're not going to praise and worship a leader. We're not going to praise and worship our pastor. We're not going to praise and worship our church. We're going to praise and worship Jesus Christ. So we need to get back to being independent again, not fighting over these little preferences. Jack Hiles, Tom Malone, Clarence Sexton, Bob Gray, Paul Chappell, Jack Treiber, Mickey Carter, John Reynolds, John R. Wright, and on and on. We're all different. John Reynolds and I are different. He has church on Thursday nights, correct? Is that right? We have church on Wednesday nights. I know preachers that would fight him because he doesn't have church on Wednesday night. I know them. We have Monday night prayer warriors, Thursday night visitation, Saturday bus route visitation, soul winning. I know people that would fight me because I don't have it on Tuesday nights. We're different people, but we have one common bond, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're a Jack Hiles guy or a Tom Malone guy or Clarence Sexton guy or any of those fellows. It doesn't matter where you went to school or what you associated with. If you're winning people to the Lord, God's happy with you. That's our purpose to be here, is just to reach out and reach people. Amen. People fight about the dumbest things. Growing up in church, I've witnessed it. Wednesday night service versus Thursday night services. 9:45 Sunday school versus 10 o'clock Sunday school versus in afternoon Sunday school. If you have a 6 p.m. service, some people will preach for you. If you have a 7 p.m. service, some people will preach for you. I know of a church that today in Hollister, Florida, a good friend of mine, he has church. They have Sunday school, then they have church, then they have dinner on the grounds, and they have church right after that every Sunday. I know people that would call him a compromiser. Well, bless God, you should go home and take a nap, prepare for Sunday night and have choir practice and get your people to come back. They're lazy and they should come back to church on Sunday night. If they're not doing that, they're not right with God. Show me that. We fight about the dumbest things. I want to read this word for word. I wrote it down. If you're getting souls saved and discipled, and if you're building families instead of destroying them, and if you love people the way Jesus loves them, then I'm for you. I think Jesus will be for you. I told my daughters I would not make this comment, but I feel led of the Spirit to say so. I believe with my whole heart, and again, don't throw any stones yet. I believe with my whole heart that if Jesus were alive today, there are religious leaders that we all know that would call him a compromiser. I believe that. Brother Reynolds, did you know Jesus had dinner with sinners? He let kids climb all over him. He went to Zacchaeus' house. What a compromiser. I know people, I believe with my heart, they would call him a compromiser because their traditions would get offended at Jesus Christ. I don't pastor Volusia County Baptist Church. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And neither does John Reynolds pastor Indian River Baptist Church. So it doesn't matter what I think about your programs. It doesn't matter. And truthfully, no disrespect here. It doesn't matter what you think about my programs. If doctrinally we line up and we're reaching people and we're getting folks saved and in the baptistry and joining the church and discipled and we're putting families together, I'm for you. That's our job. I hate to say that. That's our calling. If you're an independent, I said this, if you're an independent, I mean a true independent Baptist, and Christ is the head of your church, care not what others may say, but only what he says. The Jews fussed at Jesus, and he said, my Father worketh hitherto. I've had people question my decision making on some things. Of course, not in our church. We have great people. And I say that in all honesty. Nobody in our church has questioned any decision we've made. But I know people that have said, you know, you ought to think twice about that. My response is always the same. The Lord tells us to do it. We're just going to do it. Like it, lump it, jump it, bump it. It's going to happen. So if you find yourself and you say, well, I'm a Crown guy, or a Hiles guy, or a West Coast guy, or a Landmark guy, or a Tennessee Temple guy, or whatever, let's remember in the end, we're all Jesus guys. Amen. We all kind of fit the same mold. So let's not fight the preferences. Now listen, let me stop here and make sure we're on the same page. I believe in doctrine. I believe in standards. I believe in convictions. I believe you should keep the old-fashioned music. You should keep the old-fashioned soul winning. I'm not for the praise and worship teams. I'm not for, and if you are, I'm not preaching against you or at you, but I'm not for that. I'm old-fashioned. I'm not going to make a change. Our people won't let me. Amen? But let's not fight preferences or let our traditions cause a division. I hate to see it in our, if you want to call it a movement, I hate to see it in our churches that there are people who won't preach for me because I will preach for John Reynolds. And it's the truth, isn't it? I hate to see that. Because when we get to heaven, we're all going to be praising Jesus. I'm not going to be praising Jack Hiles or Tom Malone or Clarence Sexton or Bob Gray or Paul Chappell or Jack Treiber or John Reynolds or Mickey Carter or any of those bunch. We're all going to be down in the grandstands praising and worshiping Jesus Christ. So let's not fight over preferences or let our traditions cause a division. Let's love each other. That's a good idea. Jesus said, love one another. Let's pray for each other. Paul said, I ask that you would pray for us. Let's help each other. By the way, I meant to save this for Tuesday, but this past couple of weeks, I came over, had lunch with Brother Reynolds and got a good talking to him. And I said, Brother, where can I buy some books, some hymn books? He's just about 16 books. I got pulled out of the driveway going down the road and he calls me. He says, Brother, come back. I got something for you. He had 18 books. Exact books we needed. He helped our church. Many, many other things, and we'll get to that Tuesday. But we should help each other, pray for each other, root for each other. And I get excited when I don't know if you do Twitter or Facebook. No, I get excited on Mondays. I get on Twitter and I scroll through my Sunday crowd and see how churches are doing and the exciting announcements of 12 people saved here and 7 people saved here and 6 baptized here. And I get excited. I get text messages from preachers, and I send them out on Saturdays and Sundays praying for you. Had a great day. I get excited when other churches have blessings. Paul said, "Weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those who weep." I get excited when I hear of things going on at the Christmas, we're journeying through Christmas, and all the souls that were saved at that. That makes me excited. That tells me that God's not finished with America. I have children. I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter. I have grandchildren one day, hopefully. I fear for them. It's sincere. I'm scared for my children and grandchildren because I don't know what's going to come, except I know God. And I know God's still on the throne, and I know He's still got His hand on our country, and He's still got His hand on our churches, and as long as we're getting folks saved and doing what we're supposed to do, He's going to take care of us. So let's help each other, root for each other, and maybe we'll start seeing miracles for the certain men around us. Three types of people in the story. A certain man. By the way, Jesus knows where to find the certain man. He knew where to find him. He knew there was a certain woman at the well of Sychar. He knew about the different. He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." He knew about the maniac at Gadara. He knows where to find certain men, and he's looking for churches and laymen and preachers and Sunday school teachers that will surrender to his leading and his guiding, not a camp and not a person and not a church, but his leadership, and he'll use that person to reach those certain men. Yesterday in our church, we had a wonderful day. A man came in Saturday off the streets, and he rode up and said, "I need some help." I said, "Well, brother, come to church on Sunday and come to our Sunday services and we'll see what we can do." And in our location, we're right on US 1 in Edgewater. We get a lot of people that will walk in looking for help. I said, "Come to our church on Sunday. Usually people don't show up, you know." And he came in Sunday morning, came for Sunday school, came back for a Sunday service, came back Sunday night. Sunday morning, we had him come down to the altar, and he said, "I was saved at 10 years old. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want to start living for Him. I've been away from Him long enough." He was a certain man. Today, there's just some things that aren't worth fighting over. Fight for the Bible. Fight for your convictions. Fight for the truths of the Word of God. Fight for an old-fashioned church. Fight for your preacher. Amen. Fight for your church. Well, let's not fight our friends. We have a common bond. His name is Jesus Christ. We have a common goal. It's to reach others. Let's praise those. Let's help those. Let's pray for those. Let's encourage those and root for those that are reaching others. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you once again for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this church, for the beacon of light that they are in this community. Lord, I thank you for the friendship of Brother Reynolds and the encouragement he has been to me and Lord, to our church throughout the years. I thank you for the folks of this great church that come here Sunday and Lord, and they give, Lord, even if they just give their tithes and offerings and their prayers, Lord, they're doing something to reach others. Lord, may we keep that as a focus of our point at Indian River Baptist Church, at Volusia County Baptist Church, at the other churches represented here. Lord, once again, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray for the next preacher who's coming along. Lord, I pray you'd help him and give him the power to preach. Help us to give us, Lord, give us power to listen. Lord, continue to bless this church and the churches represented here this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.